Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Beth, who is here to speak with us about a great new practice opportunity being offered at Center later this month. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Jen. I am happy to be here.
Me too. I'm finding myself using that all over the place. It's really quite fun. Yes. So, yeah, tell us about the new offering that's coming up at Center later this month.
Yeah, so at Center, we're going to offer a day of body-centered awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
And
body-centered awareness practice.
Yeah. And this is a practice that is coming out of yoga and all the kinds of ways that we can bring attention and awareness to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to get to know yourself just a little bit better.
Uh-huh. I love that. There's another phrase from our How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything workbook.
Yes.
Which is what we've been talking about, right? Just that process of falling in love with the process of awakening, falling in love with the process of awareness, of getting to know ourselves little by little, more and more in all of these ways, and the body being one of the really glorious ways to do that.
Yes, exactly. And typically, at least in my own experience, there's been a lot of focus on the body around eating and exercise and things that I should mm-hmm. do or I shouldn't do and stuff like that. And what mm-hmm. makes this a little bit different is that we take a chance to start working with the body from a place of curiosity and kindness. And we just ask ourselves, what can I do to help support the body? So I think the way that it was phrased in the email that went out was just, you know, how can I sit more comfortably? You know, how can I help my posture? How can I do simple stretches? And so it becomes this place, I think what we're really looking at and what I hope to bring to this is a place of looking at the body of like, it's really good the way it is right now. And I just want to be there to have this focus of practice where I notice, like, when am I slouching? You know, what if I sat up a little bit straighter? Or what if I did stretch, you know, a part of my body before I knew I was going to sit for a long time in a car or on a plane or at the office or something like that? And so what I'll do with people in a one-on-one session is I'll start asking them to notice what happens when they do certain things. Well, how does it feel when you stand up? Or how does it feel if you move your body this way? And how would it feel? So that it becomes kind of this interactive, much like, you know, I think guidance sessions go, this kind of give and take and this sort of exploration together with this sort of wild curiosity of like, well, I don't know, let me try that with my body. I never thought about that.
Oh, there's so many amazing things about that. So it's such a dialogue, right? And I think the thing that gets, at least especially in this part of the world, that often gets us in trouble is, and actually, was it just this morning? I think Sherry was talking about this, but somewhere. Right, that place of like, well, something's wrong. Okay, well, let me go to the expert, and you take care of my body for me, please. And the thing is, the tragic thing is that in this culture, we actually, the experts actually think they can do that. So they go about doing that, and we put ourselves in their hands, and, you know, it's no good because, you know, we can each only work out our own salvation diligently, and we could say that's true on every level, including the physical. I was really seeing that as you were talking, that invitation to be guided. So we're not sort of out on our own in left field. You know, you in this case are facilitating, I would project, a process of, you know, you have a lot of different things, like practice that you bring to it. You have a lot of experience that you bring to it. So you can start asking the questions in the way the guide might ask us questions and give us places to look, and then we get to actually look.
Yes, that is spot on. That is exactly what we're talking about. So just given, you know, the work that I've done on my own body and the classes that I've done over time, it is that place of saying, and it's helpful for me too. You know, it's really helpful to have somebody who can see your body, because we have a certain image that we bring, you know, when we look at ourselves in the mirror even, you know, we think it looks one way. And then you have somebody who's very objective and doesn't have anything invested in anything other than just offering what they see. And, and you know, they get to say, well, this is, you know, this is what I'm seeing. Tell me what you're feeling, you know, what's going on inside of you, because you are going to be the one who's going to know best how it feels. And it just becomes this kind of process, like you're saying, of give and take and kind of pointing to and go ahead and try that. And, well, you know, maybe that didn't work. Okay, let's take a step back and let's try another direction.
Wow. And what an amazing process. I mean, it's kind of a process of calibration, as a word we've been using a lot in recent years in practice, where we're sort of invited to then pay attention, not only in this one-hour session. So it sounds like these are one-on-one sessions, which is what a gift that is. Wow. And then not only in the session, but then to carry that skill with us out as we're, you know, working in the garden and doing dishes and sitting at our desk and how we're sleeping. I mean, all those different places where we're either doing little tiny things that are assisting the body to be in its kind of natural supportive state, or we're doing little tiny things that are not assisting it. They're kind of pulling it out.
Yes, yes. And you're pointing to another place that I wanted to highlight, is that the body has its own voice, that it speaks to us. And what we'll do is start to really practice listening to that. You know, is it really that it's hurting, or is it stretching, or is it contracting, or is it, you know, so that we can really start to tune in and calibrate to how the body speaks to us. And for me also, then, it's the place of this very intimate relationship that you get to have with yourself through your body.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that that wouldn't be the natural course of things, but, or natural isn't the right word there, but once again, in the same way conditioning does it with all areas of our life, we get completely disconnected from this form that I live inside of, or however you want to, it's very difficult to talk about, but that is the, sometimes we talk about it as the vehicle of transformation. It's what I get to use to smell and to taste and to see and to touch and all the amazing things. But so, how often we are completely disconnected from it. So such a gift to have a process to be back inside of it, if you will.
Yes, yes. And two things dropped in when you were saying that, Jen. It's the idea that it becomes another way to practice, much like how we've been offered by the guide so many times. You can bring anything into practice. Okay, well, let's bring the body into practice, and let's do it from a place of it doesn't need to be changed, it doesn't need to be fixed, it doesn't need to be anything, but let's just start being with it and being curious about what happens when I am in the garden. You know, why is it that I always end up with a sore back? Well, let's just start looking at that. You know, are there things that can be done, and what can you do and change? And the other thing that I really like about this is that my aim is to not make it so much about, you know, extra exercises that you have to bring in, although those certainly would be part of it, but it's like, if you're just walking, how can you just change the walk a little bit that can change how you use the muscles, so that you're not constantly having to say, okay, now I need to take, you know, a half hour and do all these exercises.
Yes, yes, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I'll just tell you one little tiny but huge example from my own experience of having to get to work with you, which is that I have a neck thing that happens on the right side, and it comes and goes and, you know, all sorts of things. And I suddenly realized after several times of getting to participate, working with you, I just saw myself. I was actually sitting on the cushion facilitating. I realized I always tilt my head to the same side. And it was such, you know, it was so obvious and so right there, but I'd never, ever seen it. And then it's fun because it's just like awareness practice with everything else where I really consciously didn't try to change it. I just watched for a little while. Sure enough, always the head is always tilted on that one side. And then, of course, once that awareness is there, then the whole opportunity to have a different relationship with it and a whole heightened awareness comes with it. So it's really a fun process.
Wow, Jen, that's great. What a great sum up to exactly what is being offered. That's fabulous.
Yeah, great. And so on the center website, I suppose, people can find that if they're interested in participating.
Yes, we'll be sending out more emails too. It's April 28th, okay. And from 10 to 5 p.m., just email Beth at livingcompassion.org to sign up, and there are half-hour and hour sessions available.
Wow.
So 30
fabulous.
Minutes and or 60 minutes.
What a treat. Don't know if there's Great. Ever a way we can figure out how to do that virtually, but that would be a gift
there
for the whole card.
Yeah,
exactly. Maybe not in our lifetime, but who knows? It could happen.
Yep, exactly.
We'll
have faith. Great. Thank
yep.
you, Jen.
All right, Beth. Thanks so much for being with us. That was lovely. Take good care.
You.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Beth, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was some fun stuff to consider, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. Great. Mm-hmm. Being in the body.
Being in the body, paying attention. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Expanding awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the email class we did a couple years ago on that very subject of being in the body.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
We're here. We're here. We might as well be here.
Yes.
We might as well enjoy it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And care for it, since conditioning would have me live in my head all the time as if I am disembodied in some way.
Right. Right. Like it. Right?
Yes.
It's disembodied,
yes.
So it projects everybody
exactly.
is or should be.
Yes, exactly.
That's funny.
I have announcements here, unless you'd like to start us.
No, that's good.
Okay. Recording and listening group classes will train participants to access and receive guidance from the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. New 6-week classes start April 16th and 18th.
Gabriel.
Sangha will be celebrating the guide's birthday on April 21st. With a day of virtual awareness practice workshops, and everyone is invited.
Yes. And does everybody know about that and have the details? And
Yes.
Do you have
that
them?
Is gonna be great.
Do you know about it? Do you know about it? Do you have those details?
I do not have more details than that. I did see an email about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think there's something like 6 workshops by different people, something like that.
Yes. And I'm sure I'll get a text about it with some more details soon.
Right. And my understanding is that there is no charge for it.
So, wow.
Gift. It's a gift for all of us. Yeah.
That's generosity.
Yeah. Isn't it? They are good people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, June 23rd through 30th, offers an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This work mm-hmm. is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
That is the truth.
Yes. And if you are on the fence about taking a good look at emotions you have not been allowed to examine, some slots have reopened in the When You're Falling Dive retreat in North Carolina, April 9th through 14th.
Yes.
Yes. And for
join
these
ends. We had a great little commercial from Bori on that this morning in the Howe retreat. Right? She's there in
yes.
North Carolina and attesting to how beautiful it is. So they're getting ready for us.
Great. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show to indicate your desire by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I am ready, Michael. Thank you.
Okay, good. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Well, great. I'm happy to be
great.
Here. How are you?
I am happy to be here and sick.
Oh, I thought your voice had a kind of a different quality to it than I'm used to. Ouch.
Yes. Yes. And I'm actually, it's been a very interesting day with, on the morning show, some conversation about illness being related to the negativity in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of experiences during the day, and then to have Jen and Beth talking about the body and I guess I was calling in to ask about that for some guidance and how to work with this. I'm in a cycle of I've been getting sick and then I start to get better and then I injured my knee and then I get sick and then I re-injure my knee and I'm kind of in this cycle and of course conditioning is sort of wanting me to feel bad about somehow
Ooh.
I'm choosing this because I'm not.
Yeah. Right.
Dedicated enough to practice.
Oh, God, don't you love it? Oh, my gosh. It is just so transparently evil, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you say that cycle, is there a connection between being sick and injuring your knee? Or is it just kind of that's what's been happening?
Well, I'm not sure if there is, but sort of my gut sense is that
mm-hmm.
so I hurt my knee, like tore the meniscus in there, and so it was on crutches and it was healing, and so each time I re-injure it, it feels like I get sick just a couple days after. It's like my immune system took a big whack, or maybe like just ego is in there so much that it's just running me down.
Wow. And so so then you got sick, you got better, and you re-injured your knee.
Yeah, I actually, ironically, just had an appointment with one of the experts today who wants me to have knee surgery.
Mm.
So
it's
just very interesting, all the conversations that we're having in practice today.
Yes, I guess so. The main interest that I have from what we've talked about so far is what the voices are doing with the information you're receiving, which is making it as if it's your fault.
Yeah, and the my fault is that little piece where it's like it's sort of like you know that the negative thinking and listening to the voices can cause illness and you're still choosing that is kind of
Ooh,
the flavor of it.
Yeah. Yes. So the very system that is doing it is blaming you for doing it.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it just, it never quits, does it? It's just so hideous. Yes, probably what you're catching on to is how it works. That what happens a lot of times, I'm not saying this is happening with you, but what happens a lot of times is a person is sick and they start to feel better. And the voices talk them into getting up and getting engaged again because, you know, you're so far behind and this has to happen, blah, blah, blah. And they're not well. And so down they go again, right? And so you know the Huber cure and how obsessive I am about that.
Yes.
So, you know, staying down long, because that's a plot, right? The voices are attempting to get us to do the very thing that is going to cause us to get sick again. And so in a way, you know, they're right. It's what we are allowing to have happen that is causing us to be in the place that we're in, but it is not our fault, which is the part that they would like to add to it. Right, so it is really true that getting upset when we're sick contributes to our being sick, but that's not the same as the whole thing is our fault.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that you're with me on that?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, because what we're learning to do is say, I get that. I get that. That giving into that is what is perpetuating this. And so yes, all that's true. And that's what I'm learning not to do. So it's not my fault. I'm not going to take on the self-hate. And it's really important that I stay in an attitude of mind of, yes, this is what we've got. I love you. Yep, this is what's going on. I love you to the body.
Okay. I just felt my whole body relax. It liked hearing that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not the body's fault, right? I mean, if it's true that stress and anxiety and negativity are what's making us sick, okay. But it's not our fault that we have been conditioned in that way. We're now in recovery. We're now learning not to go along with that. And so it's just a constant coming back to, it's true. It's true. And what I'm going to do is turn my attention away from that negativity, and I'm going to put it on here. I love you, body. Thank you. Let's look at all the parts that are working perfectly. You're doing a great job. I'm so grateful. I'm so appreciative. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And is it hard to do that? Absolutely. Simply because we are so conditioned to feel bad, to listen to stories about, I should be at work, I'm letting people down, oh my God, what if this never ends, here I am, I'm sick again. We're conditioned to go down that road, and so it's just a constant fight to stay in, no, we're not doing that, we're not doing that.
That's really helpful.
And of course, Kate, the other piece of that is that it's exactly what's going on with us with everything, right?
Yes, I'm seeing that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So whether I'm sick or whether I'm whatever is going on, that's how it goes. I'm talked into doing something. I'm conditioned to a certain pattern of behavior, and then I'm beaten for being in that pattern of behavior. Okay, good. That's what it's been able to do. That's what we're learning to put a halt to.
Yes, and I will say that the How You Do Anything retreat is shining a much brighter spotlight on that, and I can just, like, I there's a lot of resistance coming up from ego, and I can really tell
like
it's fighting back hard, and so.
Yeah, so that's good, isn't it? That's, and then we just say, yeah, I'm on the right track. That's right.
You've got me now.
It's true. You've got me now. You've got me this time, but enjoy it because your days are numbered.
I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, giving the devil its dues. Okay, yeah, yeah, you've got me on this round that I'm learning. I'm getting stronger all the time.
That's right.
All right.
All right.
You
well,
take
thank
care
you
of yourself.
That. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Anytime. All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And Sherry, what I noticed from that conversation is the validation that the experience that I'm having is not the wrong experience. And,
right.
The support is incredible and necessary. And
yes.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's right. We are learning not to fall for that stuff, and it is a practice. It's a process.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so every time we fall for it, every time it does it to us, you know, we see it that much more clearly. We get that much stronger. And, you know, and it's going to be different. It's not right now. It's going to be. I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm growing. I'm getting stronger
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Sherry, I have an update here, and then we'll go to our next caller. The class deadline for the recording and listening classes is 5 p.m. this Sunday.
Ah, okay.
That's the first update. And the second update is that we just filled the When You're Falling Dive retreat.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Good. Oh, I'm glad somebody was able to join us. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
It's hard to lose people, and then it's great that it opens it up for somebody else. So that's good.
Yes. And here's our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Diane in Boulder. How are you this evening?
Happy
Hi,
to
Diane.
Be here. How are you?
I am very happy to be here. The alternative isn't so great.
That's right. what are you seeing?
I'm seeing that there are times when I so enjoy participating in these radio shows, either the morning class or this, and there are other times when I'm kind of in the depths of depression and I can't for everything I try from the teachings that you've shared, I just feel like there we are, everybody else is doing it, I can, everybody else is having this great transformative experience, and I'm stuck. And no matter what I try, I remain stuck. And fortunately, that's not my experience all the time, but I get to the place where there's like no base from which I can climb out. And we talked about depression a while ago, a couple weeks ago, and that was really helpful. But sometimes I can't just stop everything and listen to recordings. I mean, I've tried doing that and it hasn't been effective yet, but I can see that it helps a little bit. But I'm wondering, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are about all that.
Well, first of all, I think you'll agree with me that a life is at stake here.
Yep.
And
I do.
So, yep. And so the notion that you can't stop what you're doing and take care of this person. I would not agree with. So, you know, you're going down the street and you see somebody has just been hit by a car, a pedestrian's just been hit by a car, and you say, you know, geez, I would love to stop and help, but I'm just really too busy. I've got too much to do. I gotta keep going. You would never do that. But because it's you and because of conditioning being the way it is, you get talked into that there's something more important than saving her life. And I don't think there is.
It's also biochemical. I was in a car accident, and it has messed up my internal chemistry.
Yep. Absolutely. I hear you.
I didn't fully appreciate that could happen just by having your head hit something, but apparently it does, and it has.
Mm-hmm. But my point is this. My point isn't that the experience is true and valid and real and all of that. My point is the idea that there's something that is more important than doing whatever is required to take care of her. That's my point. And I don't believe that that's true. So when you say it doesn't always work, I go back to my favorite. I probably said this to you last time because it is my favorite. The father who taught his kids to say thank you until you mean it. And the way ego manages to do what it does to us is that it can talk us into quitting before we mean it. That's how it does it. And so what we're learning to do is not to fall for that. We don't quit. We don't quit until we mean it. And there is no way. I mean, I kind of stake my life on this, although, you know, hopefully nobody will come and do me in as a result of disagreeing with me. Although if they do, I guess that's how that is too. That if a person stays with it, they will get to the point of meaning it.
Even if their chemistry, their biochemistry is messed up?
Oh, of course. Diane, I put my biochemistry mess up against anybody's. If there were some kind of a competition for it, I put money on myself. Yeah. Yes. If we want it. And the point is, the point always is, do we want it? Because if we do, we can accomplish anything. If we don't, everything is too hard. You know, there are people who believe that their lives can't be different. And, you know, I mean, probably, you know, you would look at them and say, well, of course it could be different for you. You know, you'd be saying what I'm saying. All you have to do is want it. Not that hard. You just have to keep working at it. You have to keep making that choice. I'm the last person who's going to say it's easy. All I'm saying is it's doable. And as my favorite little Jesus poster says, it's worth it.
Okay.
And here's the other thing to consider about that. If it were hopeless in some way, you would never get better. But you do. True? You do get better.
Well, all days are not the same, that's true.
Yeah, and so what we're going for is what's happening on that day that isn't happening on another day, and how do we turn our attention to the day that we want this to be? And it comes down to this. It is as simple and as difficult as this. It's where you put your attention. And if you're paying close attention, which I bet you are, what you'll notice is that attention is constantly being moved back and forth to, how am I doing? Well, not that well. How do I feel? Well, not that great. Well, how is it now? Well, it's not any better. What about now? No, I'm not. That's not. Okay. And as we see that, as we watch that, our experience of it changes. But if we just accept an assessment from a voice in the head that is invested, has an investment in our not getting better, then nothing's ever going to change.
I will keep at it.
I know you will. I trust you, and I hope you will keep me posted.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Diane. Sherry, that seems like such a powerful point that it all depends on my willingness.
Yes.
Moment by moment.
Moment by moment. Good point there, Michael. Moment by moment. Because I can't, and what Diane is saying is every day is different. And that's true. So we have to be present to what's today. What's today like? What's happening today? How do I need to focus now?
Mm-hmm. What am I attending to in this moment?
Yep, that's right. What am I attending to in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it's simple and it's so huge. It's incredible.
Yes, it's simple. It's huge. It's it seems like it's somehow that there's a complex element to it, but there really isn't. It really is that simple. If I turn my attention there and I don't move my attention from that, then that's the experience that I'm going to have. But the forces aligned to keep me from keeping my attention there are formidable.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, mm-hmm. they are. Which is why we have this great practice and great Sangha and guide and all these various programs to help us do it.
Yeah, yeah. And there are some days when we feel quite defeated. And that's okay because, as Diane pointed out, the odds are good that tomorrow will be different. And good. We get to try it again. We get to come back and practice again. Practice today.
Wow. Well, I feel really grateful and fortunate for all this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
And Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Anne calling from the Bay Area, and I am so happy to be here.
Well, I am happy that you're here. I understood you to be under the weather.
Oh, my Lord, yes, and I just started getting better yesterday. I was so disappointed not to be at the monastery for spring and for the wonderful activity of giving back to the monastery and sprucing it up for the retreat season. I was so looking forward to that, and I'm actually, frankly, shocked to be on because I've been calling the How You Do Everything is How You Do Everything workshop, which I'm loving. And so I just thought, well, I'm going to put myself in the queue, but I know I'm not going to get chosen, so there you go. That shows you how much ego knows.
Yeah, because somehow they know it's me, and
I was thinking, no, there's just so many people. I project there's so many people calling in that the line is so long, you know, that's all. So, anyway,
well, that's better. I like that better.
Yeah, I was just thinking there's so many people participating. Everybody's calling in, so I'm just going to put myself in the queue so I have that, as we've talked about, that different attitude of mind of participation.
And so here you are.
Yes, and I am just so grateful. I loved what Michael said about all the different practice opportunities to keep on reminding us, because it's so easy to forget. And I loved what Beth was saying about the body, because doesn't remember, isn't the root of that to come back to the body? I don't remember, but I don't remember what remember means.
Anyway. Oh, interesting. Wait a minute. I just heard what you said, that's the root of remember, to come back to the body?
Yes, I think that, you know, member, yes, I think, I'll have to look it up, but that's what I remembered that it means. But I don't know, so I will have to look. And
then you'll let us know.
And then I'll have to, yes, then I will put myself in the queue again and participate. And yes, and I'm actually out on a walk today for the first time in, you know, like 2.5 weeks, and feeling so grateful to have a body. And I don't remember on what call you said this, Sherry, or maybe it was in an email class that I was taking advantage of practice while I was sick and rereading email classes, which I just so appreciated. And someplace in all of those wonderful practice opportunities that Michael mentioned, you were saying that to see everything is a win. So I get out of bed in the morning, that's a win. I put my clothes on,
right,
that's a win.
Win.
Yeah. Win. I go to the bathroom,
win,
that's a win. You know,
yes.
So many things I take for granted that when I'm sick, I realize, wow, to have the ability to do that is such a gift.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it really is a win. Yeah, that person said the whole quote was, because I'd rather have 1,000 little tiny wins in a day than one big failure.
Yes, yes. Well, and then there was that wonderful peace quote the other day from Brené Brown saying, in order to succeed, we must fail, or in order to be creative, we must fail. I don't know what it was, but so failure is a win.
Yes, yes, because it's not a failure, because I just learned something.
Exactly, exactly.
Right?
So, yes. And I wanted to share that I was on a business trip, actually, in South America when the email class started. I mean, not the email class, the year-long retreat started, and I listened to the recordings every night, and one of the things I was and still am so grateful for is the wisdom of Sangha. I feel like it's such a gift to be able to call in and listen to people with such integrity, looking as deeply as they can, and it's such an inspiration. Just a huge inspiration. So, I'm just in that place of gratitude for practice.
Well, yeah, kind of gratitude for everything, right? Because when we have been sick, and to come back from it and feel how glorious it is to be alive and feel good and feel the life force in the body, you know, it's just that's fabulous. And then from there, to just appreciate everything that we're given.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. and to realize all the things I was not appreciating that I want to be sure to appreciate now, you know, the ability to put one foot in front of the other. And as I said, to get up and make the bed, which when you're sick is a huge effort.
Yes, yeah, to get up.
Yeah, to get
let
up,
alone
period.
Make the bed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
True. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And I have this note in front of my computer. I actually cannot say it from memory at the moment, but the guidelines we've been given of, is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it not about me?
Mm-hmm.
Those, if you remember
mm-hmm.
those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mm-hmm. just been, I have found that to be such an incredible guidepost again and again in, daily life. And
mm-hmm.
so it's just another one of those reminders that I have. And it just feels like that's another gift of practice. I just keep on saying the same thing. But all the reminders that we have to be here, to be present, to realize what's important in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. To enjoy and appreciate.
Yes, I like that.
Yes,
to enjoy and appreciate. So I don't really have anything else to say except I'm grateful to participate and I am very, very happy to be here.
All right, good. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you to you and Michael and everybody who's participating.
All right. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. That was a winning conversation, Sherry.
Yeah. It's yeah. true. Yeah.
Yes.
Great fun.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. This is Laura from Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hi. I'm so excited to get through. I didn't think I was going to. Let me get to
it. What have you been seeing?
Well, I have been wanting to get through for a long time now, just to update you on a call that I made about a year ago and just a little bit of content. My spouse was dealing with addiction, and I was getting tossed into the downward spiral of it all without even realizing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's been just the most amazing year of growth and awareness that it's just the awareness has bled through every relationship that I've had, and it's just helped and healed me, and as a result, my relationship with my spouse, and he, thank God, is doing well. He's doing great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I know the practice and me being able to help him or support him get over his addiction, the practice is what fueled it to be his recovery to be effective and to be where it is today. Yeah, I mean, there's so much I could say about it, but I've been able to listen a lot clearer. I'm listening to him, and not even just him, but I didn't realize I don't listen to people, or I wasn't listening to people when they were speaking and really be with them. You know, I think ego was just in such a hurry to respond or to tell my side of it. And I don't think I really truly listened like to my friends or to my family, to my sister. And it's been a pretty awesome experience.
For everybody, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I just wanted to update quickly on that. I don't think I have any questions really, but yeah, I'm really enjoying this workshop approach to life. It's been really, really fun.
Isn't it good? Isn't it the best to realize there's nothing wrong and to, yeah, and to come from that place, you know? There's your spouse, you know, he's got an addiction. And, of course, what conditioning wants to do is make that a big problem and make it wrong and get everybody all worked up, especially you probably, and make it, turn it into a big problem so that it can, so that conditioning can benefit. But instead, with a workshop approach, there you are. You know, you can be present, which is good for you. You can listen, which is good for both of you. I guess both of those are good for both of you. Everybody is growing and changing, and there's nothing wrong with anything.
Right. Right. Yeah, I've been listening to archives and participating and everything for the past couple years. And even in the midst of that, I thought my marriage was done and there was no way that it was okay. You know, everything, there was just no way that we were going to be able to get through that. And I think after that phone call, and then just a bunch of other things that I decided to do with practice, like recording and listening. And I guess I kind of picked up reflective listening in a way. I never signed up for that course yet, although I'm really interested in that. But I've picked up the reflective listening technique just through a couple of the classes that I have taken, and just listening to the archives and how that works. But all those things have it's brought me to
the the happy person you are today. Let me ask you this. Do you do some kind of serious celebrating of her?
Of myself?
Yeah, of the person who...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like I do.
Good.
Yeah, she has done amazing things this year and continues to do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, I was listening to All the Colors Ahead, and I was just thinking how much I have to look forward to the more I practice. That this is like this
I
joy
love that.
And this ecstasy that I feel is really, there's no depth to it. There's no end to it. And that's not to say I won't have bad days here and there.
Of course.
Because
we do. Because we do.
Right.
And again, that's part of the, what we were talking about just a bit ago, that's how we learn, right? Conditioning wants to make
right.
up mistakes. But what we know is, no, actually, I'm just learning. I've never been here before. I've never done this before. I've never had this experience before. In every moment, that is the absolute truth. And so with that truth, then I can be here and be really appreciative of everything that I'm learning. Everything that I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, really quickly, my sister's going through a little hard time right now, and this is probably one of the first times where she's really come to me and talked to me about things, and I'm really listening, like actually listening, and I'm not judging. I'm not projecting myself onto her situation, and And I'm watching that. I'm kind of just sitting back and watching because every now and then I feel like spitting something out. But then I'm like, no, that's probably not necessary. You know, all you need to do is listen.
She's probably fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. She probably just needs me to listen to her so she can hear herself.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Oh, that's great, Laura. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
I love happy stories. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Sherry, I had the Kleenex out over here for that call. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's just so inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah.
So inspiring. People just doing the work. And we all know how hard that is, how hard it is, you know, to go up against conditioning and to do what we have to do in order to just be there for a loved one, be there for ourselves.
Yes. Yes. And I loved your question about serious celebration for all of that work.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, because and we say this kind of thing all the time, but we only say these things all the time because they're true. It really is a heroic path that we're on, and not to forget to celebrate the person who's doing the gutsy stuff, because you know ego will come in after we've just gone through something huge and be happy to take credit for it, right? When actually its contribution was trying to mess us up every step of the way. And so just to step back and take a look at that human being and go, wow, that's an impressive person. I like her. I like him.
Yes.
Oh, let's get crazy here. I love her. I love him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hey,
hi, Andrea.
Hi, I guess I just felt like I had to call because the first conversation was about bodies, and I was just in the garden yesterday and working and having a back issue with muscle I didn't know I had, so I just thought, well, maybe it's time to call in.
That conversation, that may have been for me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, what I thought was interesting was I planted a bunch of seeds, and what I noticed this morning was there was a dove in the bed pecking at the dirt, probably eating all the seeds I planted. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh. It's hard to be generous sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just thought, it was kind of, I don't know, I just thought, that's interesting, you know, that life can be very interesting, you know, unexpected things.
Yes, well, and interesting to see it from the dove's perspective. That nice lady was out here putting all this food out for me.
Yes, because the funny thing is I have a bird feeder, and I love to watch the birds eat the seed. And so it was interesting just to see, you know, here I have this bird feeder, and then but if I put the seed in the ground, it's a different thing. So.
Yeah. Well, that's more natural, I suppose, huh?
Yeah.
Your bird.
Yeah.
And so the back?
It's interesting. I mean, I think I was bending over. There's a fence around one of the beds, and I was bending in an odd way. And
yep. Yep.
Yeah, and so
that'll do it, huh?
Yeah, so it's just interesting, you know, that it seemed like the theme of this show, or a lot of it, was about the body. So I can relate to a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, that paying attention, how much attention is required for us really to be present to ourselves, huh? And how quickly, if we lose focus for just a minute, we can wind up in places that are painful and difficult.
Yeah, and I just, I don't know if I really have a huge amount to say, but I just thought, I don't know, I guess I just felt like I wanted to participate because, I don't know, it felt like life was directing me that way, you know, just with the whole thing about, when I was hearing the gardening in my back, I thought, whoa, gosh.
Yeah, well, we had a couple of those good stories this weekend Pasha actually had a great story for us of watching the difference of being really present to the body. I don't think that, you know, I came in late on that conversation, so I hope that wasn't already covered, but to be present and feel the body be able to do what the body does so well, and to feel the support of that, you know, being supported by that and supporting that.
Yeah, and
rather than those moments when we're not quite there, and the body really pays a price for it.
Yeah, and the interesting thing too is just, you know, when I go out work out in the garden, I just feel so present there. I it brings me right to the monastery. You know, you know, I'm doing all these tasks that, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago I would have been told they were drudgery or, you know, I couldn't do them. I'm in good enough shape, but I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm really enjoying it. Even if my body hurts, you know, maybe I'll take today off, but, you know, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that, you know, those signs that you see everywhere in people's gardens, you're closer to God in a garden than anywhere else on earth.
And we can sort of,
we can have a sense of that, huh?
Yes, that's really how I feel. You know, even before the practice, that was the one place, you know, no matter how depressed I was, when I went, if I went to the garden, everything would be, you know, good, better, you know.
Wow. Yeah. With live growing things.
Be so in touch with.
All right, good. Well, you take care of yourself, okay? There's a lot of spring left, you know.
I know. I will rest, and then, you know, as soon as, you know, I'm optimistic that this will not be like, my back will not be like this for the rest of my life, so.
Yes. Yeah, then you'll be ready to give it another go.
Yes.
All right. Good. Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And Sherry, we have time for one more caller, I think.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm happy to be here. You know, if somebody's not following along with the morning show, they must say, what are those people on about? Right? But, happy to be here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what are you
too.
Seeing? Yeah, good.
Yeah, you know, it's been something I've been kind of looking at for a while, and it tied into a question that I had a while ago about a change of behavior. Anyway, so, you know, I've had a feeling for a big part of my life that, you know, that there was an awareness of what was happening. I didn't understand it necessarily, but there was always like, and I don't know if it's the same thing as awareness, but it almost like a watcher, you know, watching what's going on. And one of the, you know, one of the moments that have stuck in my head, it's a very, very long time ago, and it came up in the New Year's retreat. There was a talk about, and I don't know how it, what words you guys used, but something about, you know, the ego having this kind of like like some, you know, almost Schadenfreude or something like that. You know, that some like mean satisfaction, you know, when it can assert itself. Mm-hmm. And I've had a moment of really of that experience, you know, where I could suddenly see this, and I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how that was ego, but, you know, this suddenly this part of me that was just really happy about some not very good thing for me. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. You're not doing well, and you can feel feel that system rejoicing in your unhappiness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I remember having that awareness. I remember that was very clear that it was almost like a shock. So anyway, but it always felt kind of almost impotent or something, that kind of awareness.
Uh-huh.
You know,
what do you
like
do with that?
Yeah, exactly. What do I do with that? And then these last couple of years, you always talk about conscious, compassionate awareness. And to me, you know, the difference I think that I've been pondering about is the word compassion, because it seems to me that when that comes into place, and that has certainly been not a place that I'm very familiar with, the compassion part. That is really the part that then wants to make changes or allow for changes. Because if that doesn't, if there's only awareness, it almost feels like some cold observer or something. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, not a concern about the human being. It's just, very clinical.
I mean, it's like, you know, I can see it inside of myself. I can see it outside of myself. You know, I'm just aware of what's going on in the world, I'm aware of what's going on in the world. That doesn't mean I want to get involved. The involvement and the drive to actually participate in order to change something inside of myself or outside of myself has only come along with this, you know, with this new experience of compassion. You know, I don't know if there's a question or anything like that. I just, you know, it was just something that I've observed, you know, like inside of me with a lot of my friends. You know, they're all in, you know, a lot of them do awareness practice, but nobody's really participating. And you know what I mean? Because it doesn't really...
Well, yes, so, if I'm understanding you. So it's theoretical.
It has a quality of like this, not cold, but just detached. Detached is what I'm talking about. This detached place, and I don't even know if that's really awareness, but maybe it is. But what I'm saying, you know, what I'm seeing inside with myself is, you know, I'm practicing with a mentor, and you know, and as I said, this is such a, you know, I'm so not used to living from that place, from compassion. So you know, sometimes it's hard to come by, but I feel like that really is the only place where there's actually change that can happen.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's just all detached. You know, it's like, it's like it can be black, it can be white, it doesn't really matter, you know, in the big picture, you know, who cares, you know?
Right. And I don't know if you want to go this far, I'll go this far. It's egocentric. It's ego standing back from a human being and saying, yeah, well, whatever. You know, whatever happens to him, whatever happens to her, you know, nothing matters. It's all the, right? And
it doesn't, yeah, you're right. It's never going to go anywhere. Literally, it's never going to go anywhere because ego in that state has exactly what it wants, is exactly where it wants to be, which is calling the shots in a human life and with nothing to interfere with it. So there's tremendous suffering with it, but it's denied because ego has that dispassionate, stepped back, philosophical, theoretical orientation that doesn't have anything to do with the poor human being who's suffering.
Hmm.
But when we bring in compassion, now I actually would like to do something for that person. I would like to help that person. So, you know, we're back to the person who just got run over in the crosswalk, you know, and we're very, you know, we're very sophisticated students of spirituality. And so we just walk by and say, oh, karma.
Mm.
Right? But the heart looks and says, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That person is suffering. I want to help that person.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the same. Yeah, that's kind of that what I'm, yeah, kind of what I'm, you know, it's like where I see that, you know, it's like, you know, people see the suffering and everything, but then there's like all the, you know, the rationale about it, or, you know, it's like, well, yeah, like what you say, karma, or, you know, it's just,
yeah, doesn't have anything to do with me, says ego. And the sadness in that, of course, is that the person saying that has no idea that that's what's going on. They really think that ego reaction is them.
Hmm.
Right? And so,
yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Well, I like the conscious, compassionate awareness part better, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go for that one.
It's definitely, you know, I see, you know, for myself, it takes a lot of practice because, as I said, that is like, you know, the most unused muscle in my system, I guess.
Yeah.
In some ways,
just about,
you know,
everybody's. Yeah. Yeah. Just about everybody's.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But once we get the hang of it, we want to use it more because it's the only thing that feels really good.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, it's funny that, you know, I see myself doing things that I haven't done before. It's like, you know, like getting involved in that way where I feel like, yeah, you know, this is something that really, you know, that's of importance to me. So I want to do something about that. And I've, you know, I've never really had that before.
Mm-hmm. I care.
So, yeah.
I care.
I care enough that I actually want to see what can I do about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I love it.
Yeah,
participation. That's the word that you used way back when. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the participation. Once we realize that we are not separate, then we really want to participate.
Yeah. You know, I read this really great little quote. It came to me where it said, on spaceship Earth, there are no passengers. There's only crew. And I really like that.
Yeah.
You know, because I've always
felt like
a passenger.
So don't try to hang out. Yeah, don't try to hang out in your cabin, right? Because you're supposed to be on deck. We're all counting on everybody to be on deck.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Helga.
Yeah.
Am I going to see you soon?
You know, I can't come to the retreat. Unfortunately, because I'm working, but I'm coming to the monastery in June.
Oh, well.
I'm coming for 3 weeks.
Better yet. Oh, better yet. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I'm
very
disappointed.
Excited.
Yeah, better yet. All right. Thank you, Helga.
Okay, thank you.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. That was a lovely conversation, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Conscious, compassionate awareness. It's the only way to fly.
Yes. And I have one announcement before we go here.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that is that there's no radio show next week, April 10th.
That's right, because we're going to be at said retreat in North Carolina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Have a wonderful
Very good.
Time.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Thank you for everything, Michael.
Thank you for everything. Good night.
Okay. Good night.